Reading first tonight in Psalm 7 and verse 14 through 17. Whoever is pregnant with evil conceives trouble and gives birth to disillusionment. Whoever digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit they've made. The trouble they cause recoils on them. Their violence comes down on their own heads. I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. And then in Daniel chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. To the nations and peoples of every language who live in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs and how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. And then in Mark chapter 5 and verses 18 through 20. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Lord bless his word and Pastor Brent as he comes to preach.
Well, the sky paints pretty pictures in the evening sun's last glow. That's when if a feller's riding, well, his thoughts are more apt to show. He might break into a chuckle or start upon a song, just thinking back upon his days and the trails he's rode along. They might have started plenty early with that guy just showing pink. As he saddled up his pony, well, he took some time to think. For there is some magic in that moment that words could not describe. For it's only in the human soul that picture is transcribed. Like that morning wrangling horses with this light just growing dim, you could hear the rocks a-rolling as he clattered down the rim. And he stopped and he breathed over all creation, and he breathed in pine-filled air. He took time to thank the Creator for the magic of the moment there. For it's those times that are remembered, long after the evening's grown cold. And from that all the stories and the poems are now told. Truly a gift to remember, truly a gift from the throne. For it's the magic of the moment that was meant for us alone. Don't clap, Tracy. I get nervous. That's okay. I tried to think when I wrote those words. I know they're in the book. I could figure it out. But it was sometime after 90. Because when I speak about a guy gathering horses, that was a morning down on the Waldron. If you've been down Highway 22, main buildings on the north end of the Waldron, just south of the buildings, if you look to the east, there's a hill and you can see a little trail coming down it. We'd gone there, we were riding, a few of us get together for a few days, help Jack Regeer, about 20 of us, gather cattle and sort for a few days. It was great fun. That morning another guy was coming, so he had to go get horses in just at daylight. And Vernon and I were saddling up, and he stopped and looked, and I looked, and you could see him string about 20 horses down this hill. Just barely see him in the light and hear the rocks rolling, just really neat. And I thought about that later when I was visiting with a guy by home upstream there, a place we call Teepee Camp. Campsite across from Coal Camp on Red Deer. Wally Hildebrandt. He was there with a group of pioneer kids, and I was riding home about 11 at night, and I cut down through there to see him. We were sitting there at the fire, talking. It just kind of struck me, and that stayed with me, and somewhere after that, I combined the two thoughts into that. That moment that stuck with me. We all have those moments we can remember then something is just right. One guy said, that's what you get a little glimpse of what creation was meant to be. Things are just perfect. And it carries it on. And for me, I often immortalize them in thought, which later came out in words, which sometimes got spoken, sometimes got written down. Sometimes just get carried in the empty crevices of my mind and come back later. Some of them are hidden. I'll find them again, 50 years after the fact. But I can remember that. And that's what I want to speak about in the Christmas story, these moments that are magical. As you know, I'm not a Christmas fan. But I do like Christ's birth. I do like the Redeemer that has come. And we're going through it backwards. We spoke about it. Spoked, there's a good term. You can tell I went to school in Sundry. Anna and Simeon last week. about how they recognized what Christ had come to be, that he was a redeemer. So now I want to go back in the story a little farther. A couple of the people that told the story. I know scriptures dealt with that. When you heard that bit in Psalms, you're going, what is he talking about? People dig a hole for themselves and fall in, and what's that? But did you hear that last one? I will tell of God's goodness. I'm paraphrasing. In this world we live in, there's many problems, and some of those are holes we dig and we fall in. So this writer of the Psalm, David, saw that, but he also saw God's goodness. And that's what he spoke of. And you can just speak about the bad things all day. If you want to hear all the bad things, watch the news. Go on social media. If you want to be depressed, go on social media. If you want to feel bad, watch the news. If you want to be ignored, go to Home Depot. Has anyone ever had good luck at Home Depot? I went there once, years back, when I got married. We're renovating the house, and Bonnie wanted me to go get some certain kind of stain. So I went and I stood in line. I went and read all the cans for about 15 minutes. Finally, I stood in line with a number for about 20 minutes. And I got there and I told the guy what I want, and he went and read the cans. And I looked at him, I said, college boy, I can do that, and walked out. I had no use for that whatsoever. That if you don't know any more than me, you got to go read the can, forget it. I haven't been back to Home Depot since. So that was a moment that wasn't very magic, but it stuck in my mind. There's a couple of magic things that happened. We're going to start with the first one first. If you got your Bible, go to Luke 2, which is where they recorded the birth of Jesus. But it speaks about the people that spoke about it, the ones that told it, because all those scriptures dealt with it. Nebuchadnezzar told about what God had done. Jesus, when he healed that man with all the demons, legion they were called, he had so many demons. He said, go tell people what you've done. So we're to tell people about what Jesus is, who he is. Simply tell them who he is. You don't need to tell them what to believe. We kind of think we got to pound it into them. We don't. If it's real in you, it'll just flow out of you. You'll be excited. People look at you and go, there's something different about you. I've told the story of Sharkey when he became a Christian. Now Sharkey is back to being Sharkey these days, I realize. When I first met Sharkey, he was a burned out druggie. He was a musician. He was pretty high all the time. Don Waddell was a great influence on him. Gave him a Bible, prayed for him for 8 years. When he became a Christian, he had all the same energy. He just had a different focus. He was absolutely wild. He was in Chuck Storm's saddle shop, and he is flying around all over the camp. I mean, when you knew him, you thought he was bad. He was nothing compared to when I first met him for energy. And this guy that knew him finally stopped him, and he held him still as he's vibrating all over, and he said, what's wrong with you? He said, I found Jesus, and he's bouncing all over. And the guy said, well, at least your eyes are clear, and walked away. But his turkey just had bubbled out of him. It came out of him. He couldn't help but tell people. And that's what happened in the story. When God is revealed, his son's revealed, he speaks through three things. We looked about how he spoke through his word last week, about this Redeemer that was promised. There's many prophecies of Christ. But he also spoke through his angels. Through those, and it's always amazing, somebody pointed out what the angels must have thought as they're walking, watching, you know, God incarnate being formed in the womb, being fully human, what these angels thought about this, you know. I don't think they could even begin to understand it. So picking up in Luke 2, down there in the 8th verse, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth, on whom his favor rests. So just there's the picture. The angels are announcing Christ's birth. He didn't send out a gender reveal party with pink or blue gunpowder. Didn't blow something up to announce it. He didn't rent a billboard. The angel went, and he went to the shepherds at night. And that's always, you know, fascinated me why he picked shepherds. I'm very practical. I always said it's because they're the guys that are awake at night. Everybody else is asleep. They're the only guys that got the night shift. Now, there are different views on the shepherd in biblical times. Some people say they're very trustworthy. You could believe whatever a shepherd said. Other guys said they were gypsies and thieves and vagabonds, and you did not want them near your town. I think they were both. If you know anyone that raises sheep, they're a little different. They smell. Not as bad as a guy that raises goats, but they're different. So these shepherds, but the angel went to them. And there they were. They're sitting around the fire at night like they tend to do. They don't expect any magical moment. All of a sudden, this angel appears. Poof, this big bright light and this heavenly being. And I mean, he says, don't be afraid. I go, are you new? I'd be flat on my back crying for help. I'd be hiding under the sheep if I could. Don't be terrified. And he said, this is what's happened. He announced this good news, this incredible thing that happened. He was letting them know. Then all of a sudden, there's a whole host of them. That's when they're in a hurry. They're a haste. Otherwise, they're a host. But this whole group, and they're singing praises to God. And it would just been this overwhelming moment that would affect them for the rest of their life. And we know what happens. When the angels left, they said, what do we do? They said, let's go see this thing. Read the scriptures. And they go and they see the baby and they worship him. And it's neat what they do is they go and they tell everybody. The word goes out. It doesn't just stay there with them. It goes forward, you know. So here's what he says. I'll read it to you in the exact words of what they did. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So I think they share my opinion of some babies, this thing, they say. But they were speaking about the event, this incredible event that God had come down to earth. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, of which they had just been told. On the eighth day, when it came time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. So they went and they saw him, and they were amazed. Now, we know in most stories, you know, that they all appear and they're all nice, and then there's a song about the little drummer boy. Supposedly this boy had nothing to bring but a drum. And I'm sure if you had a newborn child, how many of you would be excited to have some kid show up with a drum? I'll tell you what. What I read was a really interesting observation of it. One guy said, I could never understand why a parent would send their kid out of the house when they had a drum till my daughter came home from school with a recorder. If you ever bought your kids or your grandkids a drum, you kick them out of the house when they're playing that thing. Well, that's a story that we've made up. I don't think there's actually a drummer there playing for Christ, but there might have been. But the shepherds saw him and they recognized what he was. And they went and they told everybody. And you think everybody would know about this. We have to remember, these are shepherds. Who were they going to talk to? Who were they going to see? People didn't necessarily trust them. They weren't invited. Everybody, we think that information is so instant now. We have no idea what it was like then. It was compared to what had been before. The Greeks had given a common language to the known world, and the Romans had a highway system so word could spread. It was faster than the Canadian Postal Service to get word across. It was the internet of the day, those kind of things, but we didn't have the same communication. All of us have grown up with a radio. And most of us, you know, with a TV. We're all aware of the internet now and how fast things spread, the telephone. If you can remember, before, how many of you lived in a house without a telephone? You didn't know everything. If you had a party line, you knew more because you could listen to everybody else's news. We had a party line for years. I still automatically pick up the phone and listen for somebody talking before I dial. It's been drilled into me. But the way the word spreads now, we think it would, but these shepherds will have told everybody they saw, but they maybe didn't see that much. But the seeds were planted. As they were telling people, I think when Jesus came 30 years later, when he began his public ministry, some of those people will have remembered the story and the seeds were planted at that point. Now, the angels had told the shepherds about the Christ. The shepherds had told others about the Christ, and I think those seeds were there. It's not recorded in the Bible, but I believe it was seeds were planted. And something would twig in your mind when you heard that 30 years later about this guy. You go, I think I remember hearing about him when he was born. Remember, this is Bethlehem, not a big town, not a major metropolis. We understand its importance from Scripture, but it wasn't a big bunch of people. It was in the backwater part of the Roman provinces. They didn't think much of Judea there. That was a backwater for the Romans, so they didn't spend a lot of time at it. It wasn't significant to them. But significant to the Hebrew people, the Jews, yes. But they didn't all clue in, but some of them did. The word had gone out. We know that God's word will never come back empty. The other guys that told about him are what we sang about. And thank you, Tracy, for picking that song. I was going to pick Three Kings, but I know guitar players hate it. But we hear about the three magi. If you go back to the book of Matthew, in the second chapter, here's what it says about the magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw the star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. Then he called together all the people, the chief priests and the teachers of the law. He asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So the Magi have come. They might have been on a 2 or 3 year course. We don't know exactly where they came from. Most people believe it was probably modern day Persia. Different places, but these are wise men. They're astrologers, they're magi, they're, you know, magician, we get that word from it, but they're very knowledgeable, they seek great knowledge. They study the stars, they understand constellations and his God's creation, his created angels have spoke of him. His people have spoke of him, his creation. That star has come, it's the only time the star appears. Has pointed the way, and these magi have recognized it's something different, and they've realized it's important. And they followed it. We don't know how long they followed it. I've always told you that Norma Dolan said, if it had been three women instead of three men, they would have stopped, got directions, been there in time to help with the baby. But these are three men. They wouldn't think that way. These are three eggheads, what I call them. They're aristocrats. They're wealthy. They're very knowledgeable. They maybe weren't very practical. We presume there's three because there's three gifts. We don't know how many there were. We'll have traveled in the company. And they come, and they got as far as Jerusalem, and they couldn't figure it out from there. They didn't have a GPS. They didn't have that annoying voice on a machine saying, "Turn here." You know the one that sounds worse than your wife? Where you can turn off the machine? So they ask, and they say, "Herod." They said, and of course, Herod is disturbed. I always get a kick out of that. Because if you know the Herod family, the Herodian family, they're all disturbed. They're mentally, their bubble isn't in the middle. They have real issues. And he's really bothered because there's another king been born, and he asks him and the whole town around him, because if he's nervous, if you've got a leader like that that's nervous, you're nervous because you don't know what he's going to do next. He's more unhinged than Trudeau. That's my opinion. You don't have to share it. But he does, so the town's nervous, so he gets together the guys that would know because he's heard something in his, you know, he's got enough Jewish background. He's not a full Jew. The Herodians were a different bunch, you know. He wasn't from the line of Judah. But he had some of that history in his background. He understood, and he knew something about this. And he said, "Where's it going to be born?" And they said, "In Bethlehem, in Judea." So they knew this was going to happen. All these scholars, all these Levites, all these priests, they knew the scripture was there, but they didn't clue in. They'd never heard. I mean, why would they go to Bethlehem? It's the end of the world. You know. So then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way. and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them, until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back, they went by a different route. Go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So Herod hears about this and he says, when was this child born? When did you first see the star? So most scholars are kind of the general thing is Jesus might have been 2 years old at this point. It didn't happen when we have a nativity scene, everybody shows up the same night. That didn't happen. By implication, they're in a house at this point, no longer in the stable. The Magi had been traveling for a while. The star had risen and spoke of Christ, and they had to follow it. So Herod has to do the math. And they go and they find him, and they worship him. They recognize that he's someone important. And the three gifts they bring, we spoke about in the song. Because it speaks about who God was. The Trinity that is Jesus. Not the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, but Jesus is fully God. First, he was a king. They brought him gold. Gold was a gift for a king. He's a king of the Jews. He's a king of the world. They bought him frankincense, which is an incense, which was for a god. And they brought him myrrh, which was a resin, which was for a man. I spoke about that too. It was used to embalm people. It was one of its uses. It spoke about his death, and it spoke about that in a song, that in that he lay in the grave. He lay in the tomb. So he was fully God. He was a king, he was God, and he was fully a man. A unique combination. They were led by the Spirit. They recognized that. They worshipped him. They were warned. They didn't go back to Herod and say, we found him. They clued in he wasn't worth it, that Herod was not an honorable man. He went a different way. We know in the story that later, when Joseph was warned, he said, take your family out of here. Take them to Egypt. What a place to go. A place that had been a place of slavery, but he had to get away from Herod. Because what Herod did was he went and he killed every boy 2 years and younger. Because he wanted to get the Christ child killed. So you don't know who it is, so it's like you got enough steers in the feedlot. Some guys will mass medicate the whole bunch because they're not sure. Trying to eradicate. He tried to eradicate the problem. He killed all those boys. Now, how many that was? It's a relatively small town. We don't have an exact number, but he slaughtered all those kids. Joseph was warned, and he went to Egypt. He took his family. And later, after Herod died, the angel came again. The messenger came, and said, it's all right to come back. And I always wondered, how did Joseph have enough money to spend all that time in Egypt? But remember, he had gold. He had frankincense and he had myrrh. He had worldly wealth. And I think that's what God provided for God. And maybe he was well off as a businessman. There's all kinds of theories on the fact that he worked stone more than wood because that's what you built with. He wasn't a stonemason, that's a different word, but he built with rock. Maybe he had his own business. Maybe he was quite successful as a contractor. I don't know. But we know that God was provided for as a baby with his human family. His human family was provided for by those gifts that came. And I like to think that the wise guys went back and they told people about Jesus. The problem they had is that eggheads talk to eggheads. Have you ever noticed that? They talk to who they know. My personal experience of that was in 1905. I was in Ottawa for the Alberta anniversary. They sent 214 artists, Alberta artists, to Ottawa to prove we weren't cowboys. And 7 to prove we were. I was one of the 7. So the art community in Ottawa, and we did some CBC interviews, but nobody came to our show because nobody except the art community in Ottawa had heard anything. They only talked to each other. They don't talk to anybody else. We did a CBC interview, and some folks I knew that used to be in Calgary lived close there, heard me and came and brought some friends of theirs. There was more of us on the stage than there was in the crowd. But the art community all talked about it, but they didn't tell anybody else it was going on. Because they just talked to each other, and that's what happened with the Magi. They discussed with everybody else. But I like to think, this is speculation, you can correct me, is that one of them might have come from as far away as India, or at some point would have gone there. And they will have planted seeds. Now, if you talk to one from the Indian church, talk to Sam, who grew up in that, it's the Church of St. Thomas, which you know, rumor has, tradition is that Thomas was sacrificed there, was martyred there, but he planted the Indian church. But I think that probably the seeds were sown in those Magi as they'd gone back to their countries. They'd sown seeds that would come later. Because when you tell people about Christ, his word goes out, we know from Isaiah, it doesn't come back void. When you tell people about Jesus, you don't know when it'll grow. But it will. So this time of year, simply tell people about Jesus. That's why I like Christmas carols. I don't necessarily always like singing them. I don't like it when I start singing them the day after Thanksgiving in Canada, let alone in the States. But it's telling the story of Jesus. And it gets kind of repetition. People say, well, I've heard that. But when you stop and listen to the words, you realize there's a little bit of seed. It might not be, the seed might not be getting scattered. You might just be getting a few rocks picked in the field. But when God's word goes out, it'll come forward. So here we have the angels tell people about Jesus. The shepherds tell people about Jesus. The wise guys tell people about Jesus. The scriptures tell people about Jesus. We tell people about Jesus. The world doesn't stand a chance. They will for a while, but in the end, Jesus will tell about Jesus. And then they'll all know. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the story of Christmas for those that you brought. As we hear it often, let us look at it with fresh eyes. Let us see the magic of those moments that happen as all of a sudden the angel appears. And the shepherds are terrified, but yet you reassure them. And how they recognize it as something great. There's a magic in that moment, and they go and they find it. How the Magi recognize from your creation there's something great happening. They don't understand it's you, but they understand your creation. And they seek to find the one that it points the way to, and they find him. And I'd like to think it affected them. And they left a little better. And down the road, it was them and their family who had also come to a faith. So let us be encouraged with that as we share this Christmas season with folks far and near. Be it in song, be it in deed, be it simply in quiet prayer that your word is spread and we speak of you. Be with those who are aware of, be with those in need of prayer, in need of healing, in need of different things. Where they're lonely, that you'll come alongside. Where they're hungry, you'll feed them. Where they need shelter, it'll be provided. Thank you for all that do things in your name. And now as we go forward, Father, send us forth in song. Send us forth knowing you. Let us tell your stories. Let us simply tell the story of Jesus. And let us be yours. Keep us close. Keep us safe. Keep us yours. We ask all this in your name. Amen.